The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I'm not going to lie. I am today I am feeling daylight savings time in the worst way.
It's not good. It's there's something about the light in the sky right now that's like really strange.
It's overcast and hazy, so it was already getting kind of creepy around 3:45, and I was like, this is bad.
Yeah, I was at work and I looked out to my left like through the window at work. And I was like, wait a second, it's only like 3 o'clock. Is it going to get dark right now? I don't know what it is. This is the year that everybody, I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or because maybe last year everybody was just like, well, we're inside anyway. What's more darkness in the darkness, you know? Or, you know, last year, I think this time with daylight savings, there was the big like celebration in the streets of like Biden winning, things like that. So maybe nobody paid mind because of that. But this year, everybody's like, what's happening?
I think it's just like anything. People are louder on the internet than they've ever been. Like, it's just people. I mean, they've had it. I mean, we put it to a vote to try and eradicate daylight savings time here in California, which I do think the bill passed or something like that. But
that's
you have to enact
to Brian.
It.
He was, I was like, didn't we vote on this like 2 or 3 years ago? And then he's like, I just signed another petition. And I was like, well, how many times do we have to do this?
I'm calling my senator.
Here's the thing about the petitions. Every time we spring forward with something, it falls back the other way. You go.
Am I right?
Oh my God. Well, let's stop right there because I think we can't get any better than that. And welcome everybody to this week's episodes. We got all sides. We got no turkey. We're going to stuff yourselves on some server submitted stories for your Thanksgiving holiday episode.
Absolutely. And it's fun. It's like a bit of a grab bag. There are a few new ones that we just got. And then we thought it would be fun to also pull a few infamous stories that we just handpicked a few of them that previously were only ever aired on our Patreon, but they're just a little too juicy to not, throw on the big table of past dishes that everyone
brought. Yeah, they're juicy. They're not dry. We hope that you guys are having a nice juicy, a nice wet, drippy Thanksgiving.
Oh my God. I did get into a debate. I posed this question on the show I'm working on, where I made the hosts really, really talk out. Do you like your food wet or dry? Hmm. And it really sparks a pretty spirited debate when you get going. And then you suddenly realize categorically which foods need a beautiful sauce, other ones that are meant to be enjoyed as is. Like if it's cooked properly, you shouldn't have to soak it in a goddamn sour cream bath or whatever. And it really evokes a lot of strong emotions about wet and dry food. And here's the thing. I don't want no man in my life who only likes dry food. That is very suspect to me. I don't think we're going to.
How did that come about?
It makes me dry down there. When a man just eats dry, like a dusty plain potato and an overcooked steak, like a real steak and potato sort of guy.
But, you know, it could go other side of the spectrum completely. And you could meet somebody who just like slathers everything in ranch. And that's like all wet all day. Too much for me.
Right. Two offenses. all wet all the time and all ranch all the time is also like, yeah, big red flag there.
We're not a ranch house. We are not ranch people.
No, it's okay. You know, every once in a while I'll be like, oh, it's there. I'll dip something in it. And I'm like, nope. I try. I just...
Sometimes I'll bust out like a powder packet in a sour cream situation and then dip chips in it. And people go fucking bonkers for it. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why I would lie.
Yeah, why would you lie about that?
I don't know. I think that's just what people say. I think you started off the show by saying, I'm not going to lie. But
it's very... Okay, sorry. It's contagious. I got up from an afternoon nap because I didn't know what else to do, you know?
Sure. Good for you. Well, at least it wasn't dark when you woke up. At least you got a sliver of the skylight left.
Yeah, and we're recording a little bit early, so lunar eclipse tonight. Are you going to get up? Are we going to go moon chasing, girl?
Girl, I got work tomorrow. Oh, so then my mom's comes to town. Then we go to the deserts, and hopefully mommy will want to do a little microdose, but we'll just see. I'll report back to you.
Good.
And see
okay.
if that's what she wants to do or not.
We'll check. We'll be back with a mom and microdosing report in 2021. This upcoming Monday.
But first of all, we're going to play you guys a little leftover from our previous episode of a server submitted story, including our friend Jocelyn.
Yeah. Okay. Hello. I'm going to see you tomorrow, Brooke, which was last week. I was back in the Detroit area. Goes on. But I've listened to 4 hours straight of the podcast at work, and I'm inspired to finally send in a server submitted story. So here you go. I have oh so many, but today you get to hear a tale about the least authentic Mexican chain ever, La Señorita in East Lansing. Have you ever seen these?
No.
Are they just Michigan? Because they're in Northern Michigan and they were in our college town, but La Señorita.
Never.
Oh boy. Okay. So she says, I lived really close to Las, as we called it, so it was really convenient, especially for them, as they would call me in when they were in a jam, and I could get there quickly if I happened to be home to get their call. You see, kids, before 2000, most people only had phones that connected to the wall in their homes.
Oh, dear.
I know. Remember those days? One Friday, they asked me to come in to cover a party that was happening in the banquet room. God bless that. Just a quick night, right? They promised. Just a quick shift, they said. I had plans to go to Max Bar, which is a great iconic spot, to see my friend's band play with other friends who were there from Chicago. But my assistant manager, Rob, assured me it would be a quick in and out, a family birthday party for an old guy. The fun started when they asked me to take a table before the party guests even arrived. Mm. Who was it? The lead singer of a local rockabilly band. She says, you know the one, Brooke. I'm struggling. Maybe the Twisting Tarantulas. I'm trying to think who the fuck I was into back then. Anyways, she says, and I had gone on a couple dates with him. He was on a date. And there I was waiting on them in a fucking vest covered in hot chili peppers. Cool. And then almost immediately I got rounded up to sing to a birthday girl at the table right next to them. This is what nightmares are made of, truly. Okay, she goes, but I digress. The party was about 40 people and a bunch of kids. I was the lone server, so it was total insanity. We had let them bring in their own cake, and Grandpa wanted to take time to digest dinner before digging in. So I waited and waited and waited. At this point, I'm massively annoyed that I'm still there as the clock ticks by. Restaurant closing time was approaching, so I was eventually able to use that as an excuse to light a fire under their butts. Ate their cake. I was able to give them the check and start cleaning up a bit. Looked like the kids had basically used tortilla chips as their dance floor for the entire night. And it was a real shit show in that banquet room. As they started to file out of the room, I grabbed the check, slipped it into my apron. After they'd all left, I opened it to see they hadn't tipped me. Rob saw
me. No.
Yeah. You know it's always going. I mean, this is like... Ugh. We just wish it wasn't.
How is there it's not like an autograph?
Okay. So assistant manager Rob saw me legitimately well up with tears, and I told him what happened. So I kept cleaning the nightmare tortilla
crushed tortilla dance floor banquet room. And a few minutes later, my manager, Rob, reappeared with a check in his hands. He chased them down and told them I only made $3 an hour and theirs would be the only tip I would get that night. Turns out they assumed the tip was included, as it should have been, right, but for some reason got missed, and it was a big mistake. But thanks to Rob for saving the day. It was a pretty shit tip for all the work I did, $80 all in, but it was a cheap-ass restaurant, so what are you going to do? I raced my ass home and changed and took off for Max Bar. First people I see once inside, the happy couple I had waited on earlier. My life has had a lot of ups and downs, but I always told myself, as long as I'm not singing a birthday song in a pepper vest, things aren't so bad. Godspeed and good tips, Kirst. P.S. I love to listen to you guys on my AirPods while I'm cooking and regularly laugh so hard I can't breathe. Aww. Thank you.
Aww. Sorry that happened to you.
My God.
I don't want Kirst's like headstone to say like die listening to Sidework podcast or anything though. So always make sure to keep breathing.
Keep breathing, Kirsten. Please, for the love of God, keep breathing. I did see, like, it was kind of triggering and weird to hear this story because I'm like, oh God. Cause we also, not at the same time, but worked at this other on-campus restaurant called Ella's Taco. I'm pretty sure, Kirsten, I know you work there. She's listening right now. She'll let me know if it's true or not. But, I mean, that was the other local dive where you were like, I'm about to wait on all my peers because it's absolutely on campus. And that would be a moment of reckoning sometimes, you know, where you're just like, hey, I dropped out of school, just washing dishes, shooting a bean gun in the back. What have you? Oh, you're just, okay, got it. You don't have a job because you don't have to because you're from wealth. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that. Working in your college town while you were going to school was always a bit of a shit show.
But Kirst's story is like, I feel like I've had many of those very specific evenings where just like total chaos party. And good for her for fucking going in and covering all those shifts. Like, what a fucking champion to this restaurant.
I know. And like, fast forward like 20 years later, we're still friends and she's doing really cool shit, which I think would be really fun to like learn more about on the podcast or have her as a guest. But she, not only is she a personal chef, which is really great, she's got a business called Fresh Chef Detroit, which you guys should check out. But she's also part of a group called Detroit Doulas.
Oh, cool.
And so they really, really are there and help women basically champion their own birth experience.
Yeah, man. And doulas are awesome. That's great. Good for her.
Nice.
Pretty fucking cool.
Serving up food and drinks and babies.
Yeah.
That's right. We serve a birth. We serve a good birth here. You know? Come for the nachos. Stay for the birth. I was like, we're all childless, but just a fun question. Would you eat placenta?
Have you Googled placenta?
I mean, I know what it is, of course.
Yeah, do a little Google of it and look at what it looks like. Then you tell me.
Okay. I heard they just like crush it, pulverize it into pills.
Yeah, yeah. But just go look at it.
Yeah, it's like looks like a big old fat jelly pancake.
Looks like a jellyfish. Yeah, it looks like a big old like blood cyst.
Yeah, it's like a big old jellyfish. I've seen placentas like up close and personals.
Like while you were working at a restaurant?
No, while you were in the room.
No, I saw I saw one of my friend's placentas who I like. She had just had a home birth, and I went over, and she was like, "Yep." And then there's the placenta, and I was like, "Hi, well, look at that!" You know, it's just one of those things. So just
throw it on the grill real quick, season it with some salt and pepper, and dip
there
it
you
in.
Go. Yeah, get a hard sear going on that puppy, and then you know. Eat it, and then your breast milk is so sweet after that. Wasn't that a fun story, Brooke? I'm so glad that we left. We didn't put it in last week's episode. We saved it for this one, very specifically.
We did, you know, and it's all good. It all works out in the wash. Kirsten's going to hear it when she's meant to hear it, which is, you know. I had these expectations because I recorded it for the previous week. But, you know, life throws shit at you. As she was saying, she's had a lot of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Her story gets moved from one episode to another. But at least she's not waiting tables in a chili pepper vest anymore.
Yeah, dude. She still made the cut at the end of the day.
Oh, I've been waiting for her to send one in, so.
All right, guys. Let's move on to our next story. Hi, loves. Firstly, of course, I love y'all and your content so, so much. I've been a listener since the beginning, and today I'm finally sending in my first server-submitted story. Copyright.
Yep, she wrote it. She wrote it all, just like we say it, and I appreciate that.
So I work as a barista at a coffee shop on the Upper West Side in Manhattan. I've worked for this company since 2017 until almost all the restaurant personnel were laid off back in March, and I started at this shop last month. Yay for finding a little stability in the time of COVID.
This is a slightly older story.
Correct.
So. Okay.
All right. I haven't really had any problems, Karens or otherwise, until today. It was cold today, so I wore my favorite sweatshirt to work, which features a local New York City drag queen and friend of mine named Rosé. The sweatshirt, Brian just nodded his head like, yeah. I know who that is. The sweatshirt has an illustration of her in her pink The sweatshirt has an illustration of her in her signature pink with her name in Barbie font. I picture it. I see it. I love it. A man came in around 11:30 or so, and my coworker and I asked him to put his mask on because it was around his chin. We had to do this multiple times because he kept pulling it down to speak. He stood in the middle of the floor and yelled out that he wanted some coffee, and I directed him to my coworker at the register so he could pay. The whole time I see him staring at me and my chest. I'm a busty lady, so this is nothing new, but he also looked kind of grossed out.
Oh, no.
I mean, is this my life? Is he looking at me? Anyway, I make him his coffee and again direct him to the register because he just was standing at the bar and not paying attention. He finally goes over the register and says to my coworker, "I won't be getting any coffee. I don't like her sweatshirt." Both of us are a little taken aback, and we just mumbled, okay. And he continued, "I don't like her transgender Barbie. I don't think Barbie should be transgender." I was so shocked and furious that I probably babbled something about how it was a performer and not Barbie, but like, I don't really remember. He kept repeating that he wasn't paying for the coffee, and I just said, okay. Then on his way out, he had the gall to say, "Can I have the coffee?" Because I'd finished making it and it had been waiting on the bar. Without turning around, I just said to him, "No." Like, sir, I'm not rewarding your behavior, and I don't make coffee for transphobes, so suck on that. Again, love y'all and all that you do, and everyone. Best, Leala. Is this, yeah, Leala? Yeah,
Leela?
Grinstaff, she, her. What a good story. I love Rosé. I would wear a Rosé sweatshirt.
After everything we spoke about with Jocelyn yesterday, I'm like, I'd be a drag queen named Chardonnatka.
I do think, like, since we have gotten this story, that the new season of Drag Race came out and that, like, now we know who Rosé is, whereas prior I wasn't so keen. And maybe that's just me looking at Brian. Brian's like, we know who Rosé is.
But isn't there's a new season of We're Here or We're Out Here?
Oh, is there?
On HBO. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm there for that with Bob the Drag Queen and
Shangela.
Yeah, and Shangela and Eureka. Yeah,
Eureka. They're a trio that I can hang with for an entire season in one evening. Very highly bingeable. I also remember laying on the floor, weeping hysterically while on the phone with you in the midst of my pandemic breakdown, when I had like a bad day in urgent care with my head pain. And I was just like, I'm not great. And then I think pretty soon after that, I packed my bags and went home to Michigan for a little bit.
Oh, boy. Thinking back.
They brought me from the brink, Andrea, and like just making myself watch a bunch of, you know, people try drag and to like live their truth. And I was like, you guys are the only thing keeping me on this planet right now.
I am like living for the moment that Sadie Pines, our buddy Sadie, is on drag.
She's getting out there more, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, she really is. So I'm not sure what's happening. I'm just, I keep like my peepers peeled to see if Sadie is going to be on Drag Race. I don't know. I'm fucking living for it though, if it does happen.
Me too.
This is the most we've talked about Drag Race on the show in 3 years, but
it is.
I love it.
Sorry.
Just I'm gagged.
I mean, listen, I don't know what's happening. I'm just like, okay, it's 5:15. You know, after this is over, I need to hunker down and just get through the fucking night, so I better start binging a show.
I know it's like once the light is out here, it's like you have to like close up all the windows because the monsters are outside. That's how dark it is in LA.
It really does get, I'm like, I guess I'll go walk the dog with a headlamp on. Anyways, well, good for not giving coffee to transphobes. Y'all mm-hmm. don't have to give coffee or mm-hmm. goods. You can refuse service to fucking bigoted and phobic, trans or otherwise, pieces of shit. If they're arachnophobic, also don't give them coffee, you know? People are just, like, people who are just irrationally scared of others and things they don't understand, no coffee. That's my new rule. Claustrophobic people, get the fuck out of here. No, just kidding.
Agoraphobic? Fuck off entirely. Like,
seriously, get out in the world. I mean, like, literally, I know it's very scary for you to get out in the world and have experiences. JK. All right.
Do you even know any spiders? Sorry, I can't stop with
this. I know.
This.
Oh, I guess someone's never been to New York City and hung out in a spider bar. If you just lived in the Village for a bit, you'd be like, oh, my local barista is a spider. I never knew. I need to be more open-minded.
Oh, man.
I want a coffee!
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, next story. And this, a lot of these emails we got from an unnamed source in North Carolina who worked at an Applebee's, like, this guy just is epic. So we shall share one of his server submitted stories right now. Let's set the stage. Saturday night, 10:30 p.m. and I'm in the weeds as usual doing the dance we've all done when you're short staffed and wearing multiple hats, starring in a weird one-man vaudeville show called The Restaurant Manager. I was mainly working the to-go station since both of the girls scheduled had a synced up emotional breakdown around 8:30 p.m. and just walked out. I had one server who agreed to clock back in as the to-go person when her shift was over to help me manage things as best we could. It was on her way out after being beyond a trooper that even more chaos began. She went out the to-go door, then immediately re-entered and started rocking on her heels and staring off into the distance in a very familiar PTSD sort of way. She looked like she couldn't find words, then finally put two sentences together. There's some white dude in the bushes. And the next sentence delivered with no change in tone or demeanor. I think he dead, yo. This was a server that rarely relied on the slang-style English she grew up with as a first language, so I immediately stopped what I was doing and went outside. Sure enough, there's a pair of ratty 90s blue-colored Wrangler-covered legs sticking out of the small group of hedges. Sorry, this isn't funny. By the to-go door. I'm just picturing fucking Joe Exotic.
Yeah. Oh, I just think it's Joe like, Exotic, you know, very Wizard of Oz. Oh, for sure.
On quick inspection, I noticed three things right away: a number of differently colored paper wristbands on his right wrist, an overpowering smell of ammonia, and a mix of clothing and accessories that screamed creepy old biker dude. Best guess, this asshole started on the bottom floor of City Limits Saloon down the street, drank his way up to the third floor, showed his ass, and got kicked out. Too drunk to operate a motorcycle more than a few feet, he stumbled towards the only other lights within beer goggles vision distance and made it as far as the hedges by our to-go door. Not seeing any movement from his gravel-stained leather biker vest, I put on a pair of gloves, supported his head and neck, and rolled him over to assess consciousness, or at the very least, prevent him from taking the rock star way out. He didn't respond to my voice, being moved or touched, and there was no fog on my phone screen when I held it under his nose. I called 911 and started prepping to do CPR. I stepped up to get a good stretch in before preparing to kneel down next to a drunk stranger for a good chunk of time. I mean, he was going to have to resuscitate him. Jesus Christ.
Gotta get. I love these like prep, stretching, prepping.
Yeah, just like, okay, let me put my phone on fucking nighttime mode. Okay. Do not disturb. Mouth to mouth time, baby. Okay.
That's what we do at night. You know what I mean?
People know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put my away message on, which is like mouth to mouth right now. Okay. Don't call me. Still on the phone with the 911 operator with the speakerphone option enabled for hands-free purposes, the operator said very loudly over the speaker, "Do you need police dispatched also?" Those words worked just like a defibrillator operated by God to zap this dude to life long enough to yell out, "No fucking cops!" Then sank his teeth into the exposed flesh of my leg, accessible between my shoes and the hemline of my khakis, which had run up my leg from bending and standing so quickly. I managed to kick him off, and he responded by projectile vomiting into the man-shaped dent he had made in the hedges and passed back out into his own sick. Wow. The operator asked, "What just happened?" And I responded with, "Fucker just bit my leg. That's it. I'm done. Send whoever you want. I'm going to the ER REX to get all the shots. You need me? You come find me." I opened the to-go door enough to throw my keys to Alejandro, my go-to man in the kitchen. "Policia," he asked as he caught them midair. It's like a fucking script. I could just see this whole sketch. I nodded and gave him enough eye contact to communicate the situation in a way that only servers can understand. Another nod and something yelled in Spanish to the rest of the back of house, and I'm guessing translated into quote-unquote, "Cops on the way. If you got priors, clock out and go home." I got in my car and drove to the Rex Hospital and complex and parked by the ER entrance. My phone was blowing up, but I ignored it and went inside to explain what had happened to the check-in nurse. 3 hours later, covered in Band-Aids and with a very sore ass, I went back to my car to go through my phone. The usual, "What the hell happened?" text and "Did you just quit?" overloaded the little bit of sanity I had left and just decided to call my DM of the restaurant directly. It was a very short conversation. He assured me my job was still there if I wanted it and to just go home and rest. He would take care of a statement or any other police follow-up if needed. Just go home, sleep it off, and see us tomorrow. I went back to work the next day and nothing was said about the previous night's incidents. Just a lack of small talk from the AM crew and a weird overall vibe that eventually ended by lunch. Got it. Okay. No idea what happened to the drunk dude, and, you know, it was just never talked about again. Thankfully, I didn't get rabies or a myriad of other diseases from the bite and only needed a butterfly bandage and no stitches. And let's be honest, his ass was sore because he had to fucking probably get a tetanus shot in his ass,
yeah,
right?
Rabies. Sure.
Ugh, God. That's where they got to give it to you. Give it to the end, that big muscle. So anyways, Godspeed and good tips. And if you are from North Carolina, join NC Normal, which is spelled NCNORML at ncnormal.org. I do think this guy writing in is very, very pro cannabis. Mm-hmm. And if you want to check that out and you're North Carolina, go to ncnormal.org. Thanks for all the great work you do. And I'll send more stories soon.
That's from Chris.
Yep. Sometimes he wants to be anonymous. I don't know.
Chris is a VIP. These are the champion stories of side work.
They truly are.
Award-winning. They're gold standard in my IMO, just for me and my feels. The vivid description of everything. You can't make this shit up, you know?
No, you just have to basically work, you know, in a restaurant. Something crazy is going to eventually happen.
Absolutely.
Get your claws off of me.
All right, you guys, last story before we adieu for the holiday weekend. Here we go. Hello there. I love the podcast. I've been in the service industry for almost a decade now, but I can tell I'm going to be a lifer because I love the industry and I love the stories and the community. Very nice. I work at a much beloved small town restaurant that serves mostly Japanese style ramen and Thai style curry. Yum! Unlike a lot of other restaurants, this means that we get busier the colder and rainier it is outside, which is pretty frequent since I live in the Pacific Northwest. This story takes place on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving last year, which was one of the stormiest days of the year. We were having one of the busiest lunch rushes I've ever seen in our dining room, and it was jam-packed, every seat filled and a line out the door. Noodle bowls, which are made to order, had a wait time of 30 to 40 minutes because our one cook on the line, who is a complete and utter badass in all parts of life, had a million orders, and the person dishing up curry had their entire line filled with orders as well for at least an hour. So, you know, slammed as fuck, Brooke.
Slam.
I was working the register that day. The power flickered off and on a few times as the entire entire dining room would like let out oohs and ahs or gasp when it happened. I could tell everyone in the restaurant was holding their breath to see how we would weather the storm. After the fourth flicker, the power finally just gave out. We decided to finish up all the tickets that had already been written and then call it after that. Because while the stove has gas and was still hot, the hood vents are definitely powered by electricity and very necessary for operation. You would think that the entire block losing power would mean people would rush home, but you would be wrong. I still had a line of people trying to order food from me. I busted out a calculator and sold off some of the smaller items like our house cornbread cookies and bottled sodas for a while, in between arguing with people why we wouldn't make their lunch for them, despite the power clearly being out, given that all the lights were off and my register wasn't on.
Yeah, and they're like, and there are no lights on in this person's head, too. They're nobody's
like,
home.
So what's the problem? I can see everybody being like, well, we can't do it. And they're like, that guy's eating ramen. I mean, I understand how this is going.
Yes, he was in here before we lost electricity.
After everyone in the dining room finished their food, we were able to lock the door and get to the long process of closing. This happened after two of those awful PG&E planned PSPS blackouts. So unfortunately, we now had a little experience knowing exactly how to systematically clean out the fridges. A lot of the staff who weren't on shift had their power go out at their houses, so a lot of people showed up to help and also raid the kitchen of all the spoiled food that would be thrown out otherwise. We took turns washing dishes with a headlamp strapped to our heads since there are no windows at the back of the restaurant where the dish pit is. The plan had always been to close for the rest of the week anyway because of the holiday, but it was such a wild way to go into break. I still wonder how many orders the noodle cook took that day. What she was doing was nothing short of heroic, given how slammed we were. But all the records were lost as soon as the power was shut off. Ah, that's a bummer. But I like that you'll never know. It just lives in infamy.
It was a heroic amount, okay?
We've been doing takeout only since the pandemic started. The restaurant has been around for more than 20 years now, so we won't let blackouts or pandemics stop us from serving delicious comfort food. Thank you so much for the podcast. I've been listening since the pandemic started, and it's so nice to reminisce about what things were like before COVID. Godspeed and good tips, Jasmine. Well, I certainly hope, Jasmine, and again, we are telling this story, you know, it's an older story that we received, that things are back to normal, you know, for the most part.
Pacific Northwest, you know, since you sent this in, right, we're almost basically a year later that we're reading this on the main show, and I would hope, you know, but what I've seen too, Andrea, is that some restaurants have completely figured out how to give their staff the exact same amount of money they would have made, maybe in some instances even better, by being outdoors and carry out only. And they've converted the dining room into a bigger space to do more carry out, more groceries to basically expand how they can service people who want to take their food home or do meal prep or what have you. And so who knows, you know, because it's crazy. When I think of like a noodle house, it's usually just a few seats, right? It's very elbow to elbow, very crammed in. So I could imagine that maybe this place and the comfort level with vaccines and masks and all that shit would make it hard to be fully open.
Absolutely. Although, you know, a lot of places, I mean, our favorite ramen restaurant over in Glendale is definitely open. Like, you can go in and just sit at the bar and be fine. And, you know, now that especially I assume Pacific Northwest is probably a lot like California and that, like, you have to show proof of vaccination. I was chatting with an owner of a restaurant here, a small local restaurant in Los Feliz, and they had a market, you know, and pivoted. And she was saying that now that they closed their market and they're back to regular business, people are like, well, what happened to the market? And it's just like, we can't fucking win, you know?
So funny. And you know, and kudos to anyone keeping a market open. But God, that'd be so hard to guess the demand, you know? And I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like what you can do maybe a little more regularly now is be like, I'm out of oat milk and I don't feel like driving all the way to, like, you know, the Whole Foods or something like that. And I know that the coffee shops were selling them like crazy because they have the supply chain of it. So I feel like it's more like, hey, could I get some, like, I'm going to get a latte to go, but could I also get a carton of oat milk and some of your eggs, you know? And so it's interesting how you can do like even limited shopping at some places, even if they like closed down the full fucking pantry situation.
Who knows, man? Shit's fucking crazy, Brooke. But you know what? I'm thankful for you.
Wow, what a segue. I was not expecting such a quick pivot into being thankful for, okay, I'm thankful for the podcast. I'm thankful for everyone who's supported for, let's face it, it's I think it's our, by the time this is airing, it's our 3 years anniversary of doing this, showing up for y'all.
I'm thankful that you guys listened too. Like Brooke said, I'm thankful that Brooke said that. But we love you guys. Hey, if any of you guys are listening out there that wrote some of these stories a while ago and you have updates for us, gosh, wouldn't it be nice to have like some updated stories coming our way? If not, you guys, it's the holiday season. Please send any themed holiday stories our way. Any stories. It's all one big gift to us this holiday season, right, Brooke?
Yes, and you know where to send those, sideworkpod@gmail.com. And please, everyone, look out for each other over this holiday season. You know, we're able to get out there more, which is amazing. And I mean that more in a sense of look out for the people who are less fortunate than you, maybe lonelier than you. If you can pay something forward for another individual while you get to enjoy your own blessings. I think that's really the big meaning. We've all gotten through it this far. You know what I'm saying?
For
like, no reason to stop being generous and looking out for our fellow citizens.
And I'm going to also say, and we'll probably talk about it. And we're doing this before, we're recording it before, you know, obviously Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a good and safe Blackout Wednesday, first of all. And Brooke is having a show on Blackout Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes. We'll update everybody.
To be fair, I'm not 27 anymore and neither are any of my friends.
It is just the amped up biggest bar day before Thanksgiving.
No, I know.
You know, so even I'm just like, oh, there's going to be some energy out there, you know.
I hope so. I'm here for it. Gonna go get boosted tomorrow, so.
All right, guys. Well, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed.
And good tips.
And turkey.
Turkey tips.
Riblets. Riblets and gibbets. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye. Thank you.